Hello and welcome to our site as we continue in our series, Minor Prophets with a Major Message. Minor Prophets with a Major Message. The minor prophet that we consider today is the prophet Habakkuk. So if you have a Bible handy, please turn down your Bible to the Old Testament and to the minor prophets, and there you find the book of Habakkuk. I want to read to you from this book, so I'd love you to follow in your Bible if you can. Reading from Habakkuk and chapter 1 and verse 1. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received. Habakkuk's complaint. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife, and conflict abounds. Therefore the law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so that justice is perverted. The Lord's answer, look at the nations and watch, and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. I am raising up the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like a vulture swooping to devour. They all come bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They deride kings and scoff at rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities. They build earthen ramps and capture them. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on, guilty men whose own strength is their god. Habakkuk's second complaint, O Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, we will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. O Rock, you have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? Down to verse 1 of chapter 2. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am going to give to this complaint. The Lord's answer. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous will live by his faith. But the righteous will live by his faith. Indeed, wine betrays him. He is amongst arrogant and never at rest, because he is as greedy as the grave. And like death is never satisfied. He gathers to himself all the nations and takes captive all the peoples. Will not all of them taunt him with ridicule and scorn, saying, woe to him who piles up stolen goods and makes himself wealthy by extortion? Verse 9, woe to him who builds his realm by unjust gain. Verse 12, woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes a town by crime. Verse 15, woe to him who gives drink to his neighbors, pouring it from the wineskin till they are drunk, so that he can gaze on their naked bodies. Verse 19, woe to him who says to wood, come to life, or to lifeless stone, wake up. Verse 20, but the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth be silent before him. Chapter 3, Habakkuk prays. Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. O Lord, renew them in our day, in our time make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. His glory covers the heavens, and his praise fills the earth. Verse 16, I heard and my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will patiently wait for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on to the heights. What a wonderful prophecy. I've entitled our sermon this morning, From Fear to Faith, or if you like, From Fearfulness to Faithfulness. Habakkuk is an easy book to break down into its several parts. In chapter 1 and verse 2, Habakkuk complains. And then in chapter 2 and verse 1, Habakkuk waits. And then in chapter 2, verse 20 to verse 2 to verse 20, God answers. And then in chapter 3, Habakkuk prays from verses 1 to 16. His praying turns to praising, as prayer so often does. And he ends his prophecy in a poem, a song, that is often sung by the people of God in hard times, even today. And so Habakkuk praises, and the prophecy ends with his song of praise, chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. It's a lovely book. Look at his complaint, first of all. The situation is desperate, and here is the prophet's problem. Let me read it to you again, chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There's strife and conflict abounds. The law is paralyzed. Justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so that justice is perverted. Here's the prophet's complaint. Can you identify with it? God is delaying. God is not listening. God is not delivering. God is not saving. God is not doing anything about injustice. God is tolerating injustice, wrongdoing, destruction, violence, strife, conflict, lawlessness, wickedness, and oppression. Three times the prophet mentions the injustice that he's beholding, and God's not doing anything about it. It's not being dealt with. Why was God allowing such injustice to go on for so long? Job was willing to debate the issue with God, but Habakkuk goes beyond that and is willing to stand before God and challenge him. God had made a covenant with Israel, promising that he would deal with his people if they did not stay true to his covenant. But things had gone from bad to worse, and it seemed like God was doing nothing about it. Have you ever felt that way, dear friend? The prophetic calling was always a very costly one, but a prophet like Habakkuk was rare indeed. He put himself completely on the line by confronting not just the people of God or the problems, but God himself. He was baffled by the problem of unpunished wickedness, continuing injustice and violence, cruelty, and he took his stand against the holy and covenant-keeping God of Israel, the only true and living God. He lays out his complaint in a lament before God, crying, "How long? How long?" he says. "How long before you do something about the wickedness of a backsliding, law-breaking, unjust nation that is violating the terms of your covenant?" And then comes the answer in verses 5 to 11. The Lord answers Habakkuk in an oracle. He speaks in the first person. And it's exactly what the prophet didn't want to hear. He was hoping, no doubt, that the response would be an oracle of divine intervention. But God directs Habakkuk's attention to what is happening among the nations, where an unprecedented event is about to take place under his sovereign control. God was not inactive or deaf. He was busy raising up the ruthless Chaldeans, the Babylonians, a cruel and dreadful people, to swoop down on his wayward and wicked people Israel. The violence of the rebellious and idolatrous Israelites would be met by a far greater violence. God was going to use the arrogant, godless Babylonian hordes to bring his delayed judgment to his disobedient people. Listen to the Lord's answer again. Look at the nations and watch, and be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something in your days you'd not believe, even if you were told. I'm raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless, impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places not their own. They're a feared people, a dreaded people. They're a law to themselves. They promote their own honor. And so it goes on. For the prophet Habakkuk, that presented a second problem. How can a holy God stand by in silence when a nation far more wicked than Israel is beating the living daylights out of them, or going to? Israel needs to be punished, yes, but how can you make the cruel and ruthless Babylonians your instrument of punishment? We might say today, how can you make Russia or China or North Korea an instrument of your punishment? So problem number one, how can you delay your judgment on Israel where things have gotten so bad? But problem number two, how can you mete out that kind of excessive punishment, seemingly excessive punishment? How can you make a wicked nation, a ruthless nation like the Babylonians, your instrument of judgment against your wayward people who are not listening to you and turning back to you? And so Habakkuk complains to God then. In chapter 2 and verse 1, he then waits on God. What a sensible thing to do, to wait upon God. And God answers. Habakkuk has questioned the rationale of using a violent and pagan instrument to punish God's people. So the Lord tells of the pending destruction of the Babylonian Empire, and he does this by giving Habakkuk a vision which includes five songs which taunt or deride the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. God says this message that he's giving to the prophet Habakkuk must be written on tablets, the usual medium of Babylonian writing. It was durable. It was a medium that would last, even though the fulfillment of this prophecy of judgment would be delayed a while longer. There's a lesson here for us, friends. God's judgments may be delayed, but they will certainly fall at the time of his divine appointment. And so the prophet sounds out from God a call for patient endurance and unwavering trust that runs through the new covenant as well. And so we come to the most famous verse in the prophecy in chapter 2 and verse 4b. The righteous will live by his faith. The original word also implies faithfulness. In the worst times of all, the just must live by faith. Faith in the God of covenant. If the faith is real, the result will be faithfulness. So take a look at these five woes and see the things that bring down the judgment of God. First of all, verse 6 of chapter 2, pillaging what belongs to others. Woe to him who piles up stolen goods and makes himself wealthy by extortion. Then down to verse 9, exploitation for personal gain. Woe to him who builds his realm by unjust gain. And then down to verse 12, the promotion of violence. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes a town by crime. And then down to verse 15. Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbors, pouring it from the wineskin till they are drunk, so that he can gaze on their naked bodies. You will be filled with shame instead of glory. Now it's your turn. Drink and be exposed. A cup from the Lord's hand is coming around to you, and his grace will cover your glory. Pillaging what belongs to others, exploiting for personal gain, the promotion of violence, drunkenness and debauchery, and then down to verse 19, idolatry. Woe to him who says to wood, come to life, or to worthless stone, wake up. They're actually the taunting songs in the original Hebrew. And the result is we see Habakkuk moving from complaining to waiting to praying. In chapter 3, the prophet prays. And what a prayer it is, as he praises the fame of the Lord and stands in awe of God's marvelous deeds, and then cries out for two mercies. One, that God would renew his wonders, and number two, he pleads that God's wrath would be tempered with mercy, chesed. Take a look at his prayer again. Chapter 3, verse 1, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. That is probably a musical note or a musical instrument. O Lord, I've heard of your fame, he says. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. What a prayer for us to be praying in these days. His splendor was like the sunrise, verse 4. Rays flashed from his hand, where his power was hidden. Plague went before him, pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled, the age-old hills collapsed. His ways are eternal. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Why were you angry with the rivers, O Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode with your horses and your victorious chariots? The prophet is mentioning how God can shake the earth in his sovereignty when he wants to. We're living in a day when we've just witnessed an earthquake in Turkey, and then a terrible earthquake in Morocco, and now floods. Floods that have swept something like 10,000 people, 5,000 and more missing in Egypt's neighbor. What tempestuous times we're living in, dear friends. Are we hearing what God is saying through the prophet Habakkuk that is relevant to our day as well? And so the prophet pleads for these two mercies, one that God would renew his wonders, that God would do it again, bringing redemption, restoration, revival and renewal. O God, let your fame be known again in our day, he cries. How the Church of Jesus Christ should be following the prophet's example in these days in which we're living in the 21st century. And then secondly, he pleads that God's wrath would be tempered by his mercy. And then he recounts both the glory and the goodness of God through the history of his people. And he surrenders anew to the Lord with humility and trembling to the sovereign and saving purposes of God. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot, verse 13. With his own spear you pierced his head. When his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were in hiding, you trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. Verse 16, the prophet says, I heard, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation that is invading us. And when that happens, fear is replaced by triumphant faith. Habakkuk breaks out into one of the most powerful statements of faith recorded in Scripture. Look at it again in verse 17. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on to the heights. When Habakkuk turns his gaze on God, the prophet's spirit soars to a whole new level. The prophet Isaiah put it this way: those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Friends, in periods of affliction, this covenant-keeping God is still our Saviour, our Redeemer, our Helper. As Nahum taught us last Sunday, he takes us out of doom into deliverance. In the midst of doubt and depression, Habakkuk sees the situation from heaven's perspective, and he wants to rejoice. Not because he is good or deserves God's mercy, not because the enemy is toothless when the Lion of Judah roars, but because God is at work for the good of those who love him, even when their love is weak and faint. Stripped of all else, the prophet realizes he can never be deprived of his relationship with his covenant-keeping God. His fear is replaced with faith, his fearfulness with faithfulness. His spirit soars. He rejoices in God his Saviour in the worst of times. He is like a sure-footed mountain deer going higher and higher. I've just returned from one of the world's greatest game parks, the Kruger National Park in South Africa, and I had some wonderful sightings of the klipspringer, this tiny little antelope, this tiny little deer, whose back legs are strong and a little longer than the front legs. And to see the klipspringer, this rock jumper, this beautiful little animal, this lovely little buck, jumping from one rock to the next rock. What an amazing sight. So sure-footed. Well, of course, for the prophet Habakkuk in the mountains of Israel and the surrounds in the Middle East, he was used to the deer, the mountain deer, so sure-footed as it went from one level to another in the mountains. And Habakkuk breaks out in this powerful statement of faith in the living God and feels that he's just like a mountain deer, that he is soaring, that he is on the heights and moving from one plane to a higher plane as God enables him to see heaven's perspective. What a wonderful experience. Stripped of all else, he can never be deprived of his relationship with his covenant-keeping God, the Holy One of Israel, the true and living God, the only God that there is, the creator and sustainer of all, the one who is on the throne, the one who is a Saviour and a Deliverer. The prophet sees himself then like a sure-footed mountain deer, climbing higher and higher in the purposes of God, even in the time of distress, even when facing judgment that is going to come upon the wayward nation. What can we take home today from this minor prophet with a major message? First of all, the reality that God is sovereign. The eternal God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, the creator of all, the source of all life. He is at work among the nations. He was at work in Habakkuk's day. He is at work in our day, in the 21st century. He is at work among the geopolitical shifting that is taking place in our world today. He is at work among the nations. When God brings his judgment, he will do it his way and on his timetable. That's what Habakkuk teaches us. Like the prophet Isaiah, he realizes God's ways are higher than ours, and God's thoughts so much higher than ours, as high as the heavens are above the earth. God is sovereign. God alone is God. God is holy. And God will deal with every injustice, and he'll do it in his way and in his time. Lesson number two, wait on the Lord in times of distress, and he will renew your heart, as the psalmist says. Prayer paves the way to the throne of God, and it paves the way to the heart of God, dear friend. And when times are difficult, when times are distressing, when times are oppressive, when there is so much injustice and cruelty, poor governance, so much joblessness, so much homelessness, so much migration, so many disasters taking place with climate change. Almost every week, almost every day, we read of another disaster sometime, somewhere. What do we do in times like this? The prophet Habakkuk would say to us today, wait on the Lord in times of distress, and he will renew your heart. Lesson number three, it's a good thing to recount regularly the glory and the goodness of God that you can trace through your life from the day you were born, and recognize that his mercies are renewed toward you morning by morning, and great is his faithfulness. The prophet Habakkuk, like so many of the biblical writers, and especially the psalmist, recounts the goodness of God through the history of his people. It's good for us to do that the same, dear friend, to look back on the spiritual markers in our lives, those inflection points, those meaningful times when God has broken through, and looking back, often just when we look back, we see how the hand of God has been upon us all through our life to this very day. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, says the psalmist. Fourth lesson to take home, God's people are called to walk by faith, not by sight. The righteous live by faith, their faith in God, the true and living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and our King. Like the prophet, we will find that faith in God leads to faithfulness under the hand of God. The righteous shall live by faith. That's the Christian life. And then finally, the last lesson to take home with us this morning, when life is more than you can handle, do what Habakkuk did. Surrender anew to the sovereign and saving purposes of God and praise him. Just keep on praising. He inhabits the praises of his people. Let's pray together. Our God and Father, we thank you once again for coming through to us with a major message from this minor prophet Habakkuk. We thank you for the way in which you have reminded us that you're on the throne and that you remember your own. That though trials may press us and burdens distress us, you never will leave us alone. God is still on the throne. His promise is true. He will not forget you. God is still on the throne. Thank you, Lord, that you're at work in every detail of our lives as we trust you. And so help us to simply trust you more fully. And may our faith grow day by day as we put our trust in Jesus, our Redeemer and our Lord. And we thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit will help us so that that faith will grow more and more into faithfulness, and that we will see more of more of your mighty hand at work in our lives, our loved ones, your church, your world. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that like the prophet of old, we can cry out to you to renew your wonders in our day. Do it again, Lord. We look back with envy in times past, in centuries past, where you have moved in great awakening, and where whole nations have been touched by the gospel and the power of God. And we pray, do it again, Lord. Do it again in our day. We pray that your fame may spread throughout the earth, that your name will be hallowed, and that your kingdom will come, and our kingdoms go, that you will reign, King Jesus, in our lives, our loved ones, your church, and your world, that you will deliver us from all evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen.
Let's sing this together.
There is a hope that burns within my heart, that gives me strength for every passing day. A glimpse of glory now revealed in meager part, yet drives all doubt away. I stand in Christ with sins forgiven, and Christ in me the hope of heaven. My highest calling and my deepest joy, to make His will my home. There is a hope that lifts my weary consolation strong against despair, and when the world has plunged me in its deepest pit, I find the Savior there. Through present sufferings, future's fear, He whispers courage. See the bachelor.